This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
This morning, the title of the message is The Power of God. Someone say power. We're going to be talking about the power of God, and let's pray. Father, we thank you today for who you are, what you're doing in us, what you're doing through us. God, we give you praise for revealing your word. God, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and of revelation to be in operation. God, we thank you for your anointing that will destroy every yoke and remove every burden. God, that will communicate the things of God to us so we can be transformed in your presence and in your glory, that we would leave changed in Jesus' name. Whatever's going on in here, we're asking you to make it right. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Thank you, Sal. Appreciate it. All right. So the Lord kind of got my attention a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, my dad and I and different ones of us are here at the church throughout the week. And so I walk all over this church all the time. And I happen to be walking by a place that I walk by often. And all of a sudden, I heard the power surging through this electrical box. And I'd never heard it like that before. And so I got my dad and I said, Dad, just want to make sure things are okay. He was like, yeah, that is more pronounced. So we looked into it, and turned out everything was okay. And we came back the next day, and it was good. But for that time, it was like there was a power surge, and it was very noticeable. Later that week, I went to my house, and I was walking by another appliance, the refrigerator, and I heard, you know the normal sounds of your appliances, of your house, and it was just different. It was abnormal. And so I'm hearing this, and I turned and I looked. I said, that's strange. You know, I heard power flowing at the church and hearing power flowing here at my house, the electrical power. And God got a hold of me, got my attention, and this is what he said to me. He said, my power is being turned up. My power is being turned up. There is going to be an increase of my power in manifestation. And so that kind of birthed this message. And so we are believing together as a church that the power of God is being turned up. Amen? That was pretty weak. Come on, we're believing the power of God is going to be turned up. And so the healing power of God, the delivering power of God, miracle-working power, signs and wonders, marriage power, putting marriages, restoring power, whatever power you need in your life, the power of God can meet it. Amen? And so we're believing that the power of God is going to be turned up. So we thank you, Lord, for speaking through me in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Luke 24:49 says, Jesus said, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be clothed or endued with power. Someone say power. Every Christian, every believer. Now listen, we got about anywhere between 50 and 70 people not in this service. They're in that service, and those are my loud people. You know what I'm saying? So they're the loud people. So I need you to go ahead and get involved. Believe with me and start being vocal. Amen. So you should have had time to get your coffee. If you haven't, let Jesus be your espresso. Amen. But come on, how many of you believe God's going to do something powerful this service? Amen. Listen, last service, people got healed. I said last service, people got healed. That's horrible. I said last service, people got healed. Because the power of God is still alive, real, and moving today. And so you got to expect, turn the switch of faith on with me. And Jesus said, wait until you be clothed with power. Someone say power. From on high. There is still power from on high. There is still power, wonder-working power that should be working in and through every believer. Every Christian should be clothed with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So notice, when you read the Bible, you can't read through it and not see the power of God in operation. I mean, there's power in Genesis. There's power in Exodus. There's power in Leviticus. There's power in Deuteronomy. You see Red Seas being parted. You see manna floating down from heaven. You see pillar of fire coming at night and a pillar of cloud by day. We serve a powerful God. Hallelujah. And as Christians, we are not powerless, but we are powerful. Hallelujah.
The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. And if he lives on the inside of you, he will quicken and make you full of life. Because, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, church, there's still power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is healing power in the gospel. There is delivering power in the gospel. There is restoring power in the gospel. There's power in the preaching of the word. When Jesus was preaching the word, the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Church, do you know this morning that the power of God is present to heal you right now? The power of God is present to heal your marriage, to heal your body, to set things free, come to restore your life. But you got to learn how to plug in. Somebody say plug in. There is power. So the power, the gospel is a power gospel. God is a powerful God. Jesus is a powerful Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a powerful spirit. Listen to me. The spirit of lust is still alive and well. The spirit of Jezebel is still alive and well. The spirit of Ahab is still alive and well. The spirit of murder and suicide is still alive and well. But the good news is there is a spirit that is more powerful than all the spirits put together. He's more powerful than the spirit of death. He's more powerful than the spirit of suicide. He's more powerful than the spirit of lust. He's more powerful than the spirit of Jezebel, Ahab, or anybody else. And his name is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead. And he's alive today, and his power is present right here in this service. Someone say power. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Somebody say power. When I'm reading scriptures and you see the word power in there, you say the word power with me. Let's try it. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And the good news is, church, you're anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Hallelujah. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, healing all that were oppressed, healing all that were oppressed. It doesn't matter what's wrong with you. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you came from. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good, healing all. Somebody say all. The power of God can heal every disease, can heal every sickness. Amen. There's nothing too hard for the power of God to fix. Amen. Someone say power. Yes, sir. And then 2 Timothy 1:7, I love this. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Come on. You got to read me. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of
power
and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. So we see then that the gospel is full of the power of God. And our lives as Christians should not be powerless. We should not be defeated. We should not be being overcome because we have the power of God on the inside of us. And the power of God can overcome anything that the enemy can throw at us. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and...
powerful.
Hallelujah, the word of God is living and...
powerful.
Hallelujah, powerful. Amen. So I love this. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. The word of God is living and powerful, and it penetrates whatever's going on in you. The word of God can penetrate depression. The word of God can penetrate discouragement. The word of God can penetrate suicide. The word of God can penetrate sickness. Amen. And when the word of God penetrates it, hallelujah, all of a sudden, whatever was in sickness, all of a sudden gets destroyed because the power of God, because the word of God is living and powerful. So the word of God is alive and full of power. So I love this. The word of God is powerful all the time, every day, full of power, life-changing power, sin-defeating power, depression-evicting power, sickness-destroying power, miracle-working power. The word that I'm preaching to you is full of power. I just need to ask a question. How many of you have ever been in a service and the word of God has been being preached to you and you've been fighting something for weeks or for months or for years, and when you're hearing the word, all of a sudden something comes out of the preacher's mouth or something comes from the Holy Spirit while the word of God is being preached, and all of a sudden the answer comes, the light comes, or healing comes. If you've ever experienced that in here, make some noise in here this morning. Because there is life-changing power in the word of God. You don't need a new life. You don't need a new husband or a new wife. You don't need a new career. You just need the power of God to flow in your life. Sickness leaves, poverty leaves, discouragement leaves when the power of God begins to flow. Your mindset changes, your perception changes, your perspective changes when the power of God begins to flow. Dead things are brought back to life when the power of God begins to flow. Someone say flow. There is a flow right in here today. The power of God is flowing. But just like electrical power is flowing from PG&E into the building here, that there's power flowing right now. But in order for that power to do anything for you, you're going to have to plug into the power. I mean, you can plug a vacuum in and vacuum. You can plug guitars and amps and drum mics and cameras and TVs. You can plug everything in, and that power will provide what's needed to run and operate those devices. But we could show up here and lights be out, nothing be on, because we didn't figure out how to plug in to the power. In other words, the power of God is flowing in here today, but if you and I don't learn how to plug into it, it won't do any good for us. We've got to learn to plug in. Someone say plug in. Plug into the power. And I'm going to give you four ways that the power of God, that you plug into the power of God. Number one. The number one way you plug into the power of God is praise. Someone say praise. Praise. I love this. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Has anybody found that to be the truth? That when you praise him, his presence comes down. I love this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 22. It says this. It said, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. Judah was the praisers. Judah was God's people. So we had this big army coming against the enemy of God's army, coming against God's people. And God said, don't do anything until you send out the praisers first. I mean, this doesn't make sense in the natural, because you would want to be gathering more soldiers and training soldiers. I mean, the enemy's coming against you, so do everything you can to make yourself more formidable. But God says, no, don't do that. Don't do that, because they don't have me on their side. You don't do things normal if you have God on your side. And the Bible says that they started singing and praising God, and God set ambushes against their enemy. Have you ever found out that, have you ever been in a very difficult situation and you didn't know what to do, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, praise me. And you say, God, I don't feel like praising you. My money's funny. Come on, somebody. My kids are acting crazy. My wife used to be beautiful. Bless her, Lord. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm just joking. My wife is beautiful, but she's acting crazy. Jesus, and my mind is this and that, and this situation over here, and I'm in pain, and I've been dealing with this for years, God, and you're asking me to praise you, God. I don't feel like praying. Am I talking to anybody in here this morning? God, I don't feel like praising you. And God says, I know, baby, but that's when you give me the sacrifice of praise. Has anybody here ever had to give God the sacrifice of praise when you didn't feel like it? And all of a sudden, listen, there's been many times when I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where the answer was going to come from. And the Holy Spirit would say, Jason, just praise me. And so I'd start out by faith, and I felt like hell on earth, if you know what I'm saying. There was a measure of hell. There was a measure of fear trying to come. And all of a sudden, praise would begin to come out of my mouth. God, I bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And I would begin to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, all that is within me. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who's forgiven all my sins, who's healed all my diseases, who's redeemed my life from the pit. I cried out to the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'll praise him in the noontime. I pray. And then I said, God, I praise you that I got glass is in the cabinets. God, I praise you that I got food in the cabinets. And the devil says, but you don't have very much. But God, I praise you that I got cabinets to keep the food in. God, I praise you that I have spoons and that I have a fork. God, I praise you I got water to drink. God, I praise you I got breath in my lungs. God, I praise you that I have clothes to put on my body. And then all of a sudden, I start feeling good. God, I praise you because you met my needs last year when I couldn't pay the bill. God, I remember when you healed my baby 10 years ago. God, I remember when you restored my marriage. God, I praise you that you are mighty. God, I praise you. I praise you, God, because you are worthy. I wonder if anybody in here can plug in with me right now and just take about 30 seconds and praise the Lord. It's your turn. I didn't say clap. I said praise. God, I praise you that I haven't lost my mind. God, I praise you that I'm still breathing. God, I praise you that even though the devil's been attacking me, I'm still standing and the victory is still mine. God, I praise you. God, I thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. So even though depression's trying to come against me, addiction's trying to come against me, confusion's trying to come against me, God, I'm going to choose to praise you. God, I praise you that I'm still standing. God, I praise you that I didn't give up. God, I praise you that when I gave up, you picked my feet up out of the miry pit and set my feet upon a rock. God, I praise.
Hallelujah.
I remember Acts 16:25 about midnight. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praise to God. Has anybody besides me ever seen God when you felt, because they were locked up, they were chained up. They were beaten, they were chained up, they were put in prison. But you've heard me say this before, the devil just made one mistake. He didn't cover their mouth. The devil goes, I threw depression at them. I messed with their family. I tried to do this. I think I got them walled in. But the devil made one mistake. He didn't cover my mouth. And about midnight, the darkest part of the night, they began to pray and to sing praises. And the Bible says suddenly. I came to prophesy that if some of you can crucify your flesh and begin to praise God, the Bible says if we are silent, the rocks will cry out in praise. Praise is not just a shout. Praise is not just a clap. Praise is, I got to remember what you have done, and I'm going to praise you because you are worthy and because you are holy. Do you know that your praise will cause suddenlies to happen? Seems to me, like I should have more help than just Ryan and Carl on the front row. I'm going to say that again. Your praise, my praise, can cause suddenlies to take place. Suddenly the marriage gets better. I'm prophesying right now. Suddenly your kids stopped acting crazy. Suddenly you got a sound mind. Suddenly the yoke is destroyed and the burden is removed, because when I praise him, the Bible says suddenly there was a sound from heaven and everybody's chains got loose and everybody's prison doors got open. One more time, give him some praise right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. It happens. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen in my life. And sometimes you got to make yourself do it by faith. But if you will praise him, you plug into the power. Amen? Yeah. Number two, second way you plug into the power is you proclaim his promises. Proclaim God's promises all through the day. Whatever's going on with you, if it's a financial problem, you got to proclaim the promise of God over it. If it's a physical problem, you got to proclaim the promise of God over it. If it's a fear problem, if it's a confusion problem, you got to proclaim the promises of God over it. And what do you mean, Jason? Let me give you some scripture here. Mark 11:23 says, have faith in God. Is there any faith in God in here? Hallelujah. Is there any faith in God in here? Smith Wigglesworth said, you don't have any problems because you have faith in God. Hallelujah. I mean, there's some faith people in this church that we have seen that when we have problems in our lives, the Bible says, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Hear me, church. You can have doubt in your head, faith in your heart, and it'll still work for you. Come on, the devil will try to discourage you. You've been talking like that for a month and it hasn't happened yet. Shut up, devil. I don't care if there's some doubt in here. There's faith in here. I'm going to proclaim the promise of God and I'm going to see the mountain moved. The Bible says you believe in your heart and do not doubt, you will have. Someone say, I will have. I will have whatsoever things I say. So when you profess, when you proclaim the promise of God, the power of God goes into operation and it moves mountains. Hallelujah. I've seen it move mountains of depression. I've seen it move mountains of sickness. I've seen it move mountains of discouragement. I've seen it move mountains of lack. I'm not just up here preaching some principle. I have lived this out. I have seen the Lord work that when you declare the promise of God, when you call those things that be not as though they are, when you speak to the mountain, don't talk about the mountain. Don't talk, my God, my finances, my money's funny. I mean, my family's jacked up. I hate my life. My life sucks. You're talking about the mountain. Don't talk about the mountain. Start talking to the mountain. Come on, don't talk about, oh my God, I feel this way and I feel depressed and I feel sick and it hurts so bad. No, listen, I get it. But instead of talking about it, start talking to it. Sickness, I command you, be rooted up and be cast into the sea. Depression, I command you, be rooted up and cast into the sea. I have the mind of Christ. Jesus bore my sicknesses. He carried away my pains. And by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You got to proclaim the promises of God, but it'll move mountains. Hallelujah. I say, that it'll move mountains because there's still power, wonder working power. Come on, somebody shout yes. Come on, we're not going to sit around and act like the Bible doesn't work. The Bible works. The word works, but we got to work the word. When's the last time you got consistent and persistent about your confession of faith? Jesus said death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when I talk to most people, all they talk about is the death. How bad it is, how bad their money is, how bad their body hurts, how bad this is, how bad their wife is, how bad life is, how bad the economy is, how bad the president is. Listen, the Bible, I don't care who's the president, but the Bible didn't say talk about him. The Bible said pray for him. Or her. I'm not being political, I'm being biblical. I'm not here to push any kind of political agenda. Bottom line is, if Christians would pray, we wouldn't be in such a mess. And so it does matter what you talk about. It does matter what I talk about. And when we proclaim the promises of God, the power of God goes into operation and it moves mountains. Do you believe? Is that amen? Let me show it to you again. Job 22:28. You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. What you decree is established in your life. Y'all ain't saying a thing. This is a spiritual law that we not only have to know about. I've known about it for years. I've worked it several of those years. But there have been times when stupid stuff got in my mouth. I heard a message one time and he said, get the devil out of your mouth. Because what you don't know is that there is a spiritual law that your words determine your future. Your words frame your world. We've got to put God's words in our mouth. I heard a preacher say, we need mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. We need to put what came out of God's mouth into our mouth because God spoke it so we could believe it and then speak it again. The word is not just to be read. The word is to be meditated and then spoken. Hallelujah. So, number two, when you decree it, when you speak it, the power of God goes into operation to establish it in your life. Brother Hagin says, if you want to know why you are where you are, just check up on what you've been saying. Because your words, how many of you know, it's easy to talk about what is. Come on, somebody. What is, what you feel, what it seems like, how bad it is. Easy to talk about. The flesh loves to talk about that. But faith will say, I call it. Even though it's not, I call it like it is. Okay, faith declares or proclaims the promises of God. So, number two, speak or proclaim the promises of God. Number three, prayer. This is the third way you plug in to the power of God. They tell me my time is gone. Is that correct?
That must be somebody else's fault.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, there's no way my time is gone. Something happened. All right, here we go. 10 minutes. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for a good man in the front row. Thank you, Lord. Number three, who cares about the Super Bowl? You know what I mean? Like, I just hope the Patriots lose, you know? Hey, man, plus the Eagles are a bunch of Christians, so you're just carnal if you're going for the Patriots. No, I'm just playing. Totally just kidding. It's just a joke. But I love it when there's a bunch of born-again believers. Ryan just told me today that they were baptizing teammates in the pool on their road trips. I'm like, Lord, let your favor be upon the Eagles. Hallelujah. I don't think God too much cares about sports and that kind of thing, but I know he cares about people. So anyhow, but don't be going out of here talking about Jason pray for the, just stop, man. It's a joke, man. My God. All right. I left the church because he's an Eagles fan. Whatever. It's like, whatever, man. That's just a joke. Number three, prayer. You got to pray. Someone say pray. Feel like MC Hammer got to pray just to make it to. Oh, y'all don't even know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that, right? Right? Too legit? No. Going old school up in here today. Got to pray just to make it today, man. I mean, these sound like Chris Rock up in here, man. We've got to be people that pray. Let me give you a few things. Moses prayed and the Red Sea parted. Come on, somebody. Abraham prayed and he became the father of many nations. Daniel prayed and lions' mouths were shut. Elijah prayed and the sun stood still. Talk about power. That's some power right there. I'm just going to stop. Like, that's kind of a large mass. And it's hot. Like, really, you know what I'm saying? Like, stop. Like, that's power. Right? Like, sometimes we read this and be like, yeah, that's cool. It's like, sun stood still. Right? What have you seen that you prayed for and it came to pass? Like, one time, like my knee was itching and stuff, and I prayed for it. And it didn't leave real fast. Like, not barely right now, but it left. And I praise God for that. Like, you got to start somewhere. Come on, somebody. You got to start somewhere. Right? Talking about, I'm praying that the sun stands. Just pray that tomorrow when you get up, you don't trip on your way to work. Just start small. And then pray big prayers. Pray audacious prayers because we serve a big, powerful God. Hallelujah. David prayed and Goliath fell. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, someone say then. Then will I hear them from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. When we pray, the power of God is released. The third way you plug into the power of God is when we pray. Someone say pray. This week, man, go home, praise him, find time in the morning to praise him, praise him on your way to work, and then proclaim the promises of God, and sometime in your day, pray, spend time fellowshipping with God, pray in faith over your family, pray in faith over your finances, pray in faith over the church, pray in faith over Salinas, come on somebody, pray in faith for your government, and for your president, and for the whole Congress, pray for them, because the Bible says if we pray for them, we'll live a quiet and peaceable life, but we've got to be people who pray. Percentage of people that Christians that pray is staggeringly sad. And so we want to teach that, first of all, it is so necessary in the life of every believer that you've got to learn to just talk to God. Someone say talk to him. Talk to God. Pray. Spend time in prayer with God. Number four, fourth way you plug in to the power is perseverance. And sometimes the devil will come. So number one, praise. Number two, proclaim the promises. Number three, pray. Number four, perseverance. The devil tries to come when we start out in these things for a day, for a week, for a few days, for a month, whatever it may be. And he really tries to come and discourage and lie to us and get us distracted with different things and temptation. because he knows if you stay faithful, if you stay persistent, you will see the power of God come into your life in operation. Now, here's the thing about it. Once you've seen the power of God show up in your life, you understand now that no devil in hell can keep God's power from fixing whatever it is you're facing. And that's why the devil doesn't want you to be persistent or to persevere. All right? So Galatians 6:9, and I'm almost done. I'm closing right here. Galatians 6:9 says, you guys know, very familiar, do not grow weary in doing well or in doing good. For in due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not lose heart or do not give up. Someone say, don't give up. Whatever it is you're believing God for, don't give up. If you've fallen out of faith, get back up again. Amen. Peter stepped out on the waves, stepped out on the water, started walking on the water, and then the waves and the wind scared him, and he took his eyes off of Jesus and put him on the waves, and then he began to sink. But the good news is Jesus reached down and picked him back up. Come on, somebody. So no matter where you are in your faith walk, in faith in God, get back in faith. Get back to a place where you're believing God. Don't give up. Persevere, because you're going to see a harvest. Come on, man, I'm tired of seeing a harvest of the negative stuff, of the death-giving stuff that Satan tries to bring as a result of disobedience or as a result of giving up or as a result of talking negative. We're not going to see any more of those harvests. We're going to see the harvest that comes from God. We're going to see a harvest of healing and provision and restoration and the goodness of God. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. All right, last scripture, I believe, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says this, through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. So through faith and patience, I heard Keith Moore say this one time. He said, where your patience ends, your faith ends. And you can't receive anything from God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anything you and I ever receive from God will always be by faith. Come on, somebody. That's why the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The easiest thing in the world is to walk by sight. I can't be discouraged. I can't be depressed. I can't be afraid. I can't be confused. I can't be frustrated ever and be in faith. If I'm frustrated, if I'm angry, if I'm afraid, if I'm confused, if I want to give up, I am not in faith. The good news is I can repent and make a hard decision to get right back in faith. It's not hard. The devil tries to condemn because maybe we haven't been in faith. That's everybody on the planet that's ever lived by faith. Everybody has fallen. Everybody has had faith failures. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to live in defeat. I'm going to live by faith. Come on, somebody. All right. So I want you guys to be encouraged in your faith walk, in pleasing God, in walking with God. That now, listen, the reason I gave you these four steps, these four ways to plug into the power of God, number one, praise. Number two, prayer. Number two, proclaim the promises of God. Number three, prayer. And number four, perseverance. Because if we will walk by faith and do these things by faith, listen to me, the power of God is not just like, you know, like lightning that comes and strikes. Oh, thank God. God delivered me. It's better. It's better. It's all. And the power of God can't come that way. But the power of God should be flowing to us and through us every day. That if we will do these things, and not just these things, but these are scriptural steps. These are scriptural promises and directives from the Lord that if we will begin to do them, someone say, do them. Come on, say it again. Say, do them. Then the power of God flows in us and through us every day. And when you walk into work, you're prepared for what comes against you. When you go home, we're prepared for what stands, what meets us there. When we walk through our everyday life, people notice there's something different about us because there is power from God flowing in us, to us, and through us. Amen. So when I pray with somebody, power flows. When I pray for somebody, power flows. When I talk to somebody, I've seen it over and over. My friend and I were just having dinner. Adam and I were just having dinner. We were just sitting there talking about God, and the power of God came. And the couple next to us, all of a sudden, the woman began to cry, and she interrupted us, and she goes, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on, but there's just something about what you're talking about. It's moving me. She was weeping. Hallelujah. And they ended up asking us for prayer, because if we're doing what the Bible says to do, power should follow. So God is encouraging us to be sons and daughters of the living God that have his power flowing in us and through us for everyday life. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.